right, welcome to it on a Thursday from the heart of forgotten America. This is the Steve Gruber Show. God bless America. I am Steve Gruber. I'm coming to you live today from the Lansing Center, downtown Lansing, Michigan. The Brain Association of Michigan's annual fall conference. A lot to talk about here today. We'll get to that in a moment. First, the big three things you need to know right now. Number three, looking back and nailing Ilhan Omar for her comments on what brought down the World Trade Center. Very emotional yesterday at the 9/11 remembrances at Ground Zero. Number two, it is debate night in America. The Democrats will be gathering in Houston tonight. It'll be Elizabeth Warren versus Joe Biden in the main spotlight. We'll talk about that. And number one, a huge victory for the Supreme Court, in the Supreme Court for Donald Trump and the Trump administration came late last night. A major win, the Supreme Court issuing an order late Wednesday ending all injunctions that had blocked the White House's ban on asylum for anyone trying to enter the United States by traveling through a third country, such as Mexico, for example. And they would not seek protection there. Those people are now not going to be welcomed into the United States. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, long a liberal bastion, as you know, that has been aggressively reshaped into a more moderate court by the Trump administration and the appointments made there, it handed the White House a partial victory in the case on Monday of this week by ending the nationwide injunction against the asylum policy. But the Ninth Circuit let stand the injunction within its territorial boundaries, which included California, Arizona, Alaska, Hawaii, Montana, Nevada, Idaho, Guam, Oregon, and Washington. The Supreme Court's order was not a final ruling on the policy's merits, but does allow the policy to take effect nationwide, which means they believe that it would prevail in court. And it was not a close vote. It was a 7-2 vote. The two outstanding objections came from Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg in the dissent. Once again, the executive branch has issued a rule that seeks to upend longstanding practices regarding refugees who seek shelter from persecution, said Sotomayor and Ginsburg. But they added they were disappointed that the majority failed to exercise restraint and instead intervened in the lower court matter before it was fully resolved. What this brings back to is that the commander-in-chief, regardless of who that is, regardless if it's a president you like or dislike, they do have the ability, the power, the constitutional legal right to set immigration policy to great extent, and that's what's happened here. This greatly helps build on the progress we've made addressing the crisis at our southern border, said Hogan Gidley from the White House. The district court's erroneous nationwide injunction was another in a series of overreaching orders that allowed a single non-elected district court judge to override policy decisions for the entire nation. While there is much more work to be done here, thankfully the Supreme Court took a decisive step here and rejected the lower court's egregious ruling. That came from the White House yesterday, last night, actually. So big breaking news. And it is a big victory for this president who has been fighting on the front of immigration policy. And make no mistake, this is the number one issue, according to polling right now, the number one issue in America today is immigration, which is interesting. If you go back to September the 12th, 2001, terrorism was the number one issue in America, which makes sense. Obviously, we're coming off the 18th anniversary of the attack on the World Trade Center that left more than 3,000 Americans dead in all in those attacks. And back then, that was the number one issue. In fact, I want to take you to Ground Zero yesterday, because as is the practice now, groups of survivors get together and they read through the names of those that did not survive that day, the 343 first responders that died that day, all of the citizens from America and around the world that were in the Twin Towers when they came down in New York on September the 11th, 2001. And one of those people that stepped to the microphone, the son of a victim of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, took time from the reading of the names of those killed, including his mother, to call out Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota in her comments that some people did something when she was talking about the creation of care. He took not kindly to it. It's bite number one. I want you to hear this right now. Bite number one. Go.
I remember them all and pray with you for them today. Some people did something, said a freshman congresswoman from Minnesota, to support and justify the creation of care. Today I am here to respond to you exactly who did what to whom. Madam, objectively speaking, we know who and what was done. There is no uncertainty about that. Why your confusion? On that day, 19 Islamic terrorist members of Al-Qaeda killed over 3,000 people and caused billions of dollars of economic damage. Is that clear? But as to whom? I was attacked. Your relatives and friends were attacked. Our constitutional freedoms were attacked. And our nation's founding on Judeo-Christian principles were attacked. That's what some people did. Got that now?
Nicholas Harris Jr. His mother died there. She was 76 years old on September the 11th, 2001. And he, as you heard, was applauded by those in attendance, calling out 19 Islamic terrorists, members of Al-Qaeda, and the 3,000 people killed. As Harris Jr. spoke, he was standing just steps away from the site of the former World Trade Center South Tower. His mother was in the South Tower. Frances walked into work one pleasant Tuesday morning and never came back out. And that was so true for so many people. Went to work that Tuesday morning, never to come back. So I think what we hear there is when some of these comments are made, and they're covered in the news, and you hear little bits and pieces and so forth, you don't hear from the relatives and how it affects them and the negative impact that has on them. And this was a very telling story, a very poignant moment in the whole conversation and reflecting back on 9/11 and the people that died there. And he had the courage to reflect on constitutional freedoms, Judeo-Christian principles, and the foundations of the nation. That's what some people did. Got that now? We are here today, Congresswoman, to tell you that the squad, just who did what to whom. Show respect in honoring them, please. Of course, Ilhan Omar, part of the squad, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, another one of those members, along with AOC and Ayanna Pressley. Omar tweeted about the attacks Wednesday around the same time Harris Jr. was making his remarks. Though it was not immediately clear if Omar's tweets were in response to his words, she tweeted out, "September 11th was an attack on all of us. We will never forget the thousands of Americans who lost their lives in the largest terror attack on U.S. soil. I will continue to fight to make sure we care for the first responders and families who lost loved ones." Interesting, because at the same time that was going on over on CNN, we'll get to this after the break, over on CNN, they were having a discussion about how white supremacists are the biggest threat to America, ignoring the 9/11 attack and the Islamic terrorism. And the 3,000 dead, they're talking about white supremacy. It's unbelievable. All right, coming to you live from the Lansing Center in downtown Lansing, Michigan. It's the Brain Association of Michigan's annual fall conference. We're going to talk about auto no-fault here today, the big changes. Are you going to save money? The folks here say not only are you not going to save money in Michigan, you're going to end up paying a whole lot more because you'll need more coverage. You'll need umbrella policies. You're going to have the possibility of getting sued by another driver if you're at fault in an accident. All sorts of problems. They say this was signed into law by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, changing the no-fault law in Michigan for the first time since 1976. We'll be talking about that at length today. So stick around for that conversation. It's the Steve Gruber Show. You can find out more at stevegruber.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'll be right back on a Thursday.
September is weight loss and body contouring month at Wyckoff Wellness, and it's your chance to drop pounds, lose inches, save some money, and find the new you. In September, save 20% on their HCG and ketogenic weight loss programs and save 20% off Virju body contouring and cellulite reduction packages. Wyckoff Wellness is here to help you reach your weight loss and body contouring goals, and September is the best time to get started and save 20%. Call 517-333-7270 or go to wyckoffwellness.com.
The current no-fault legislation is a sellout to Michigan citizens and a total gift to the insurance company. As healthcare benefits are diminished from the current reform, healthcare providers, hospital workers, and care providers across Michigan are in jeopardy of losing their businesses, jobs, and livelihood as a result of the reduction in care under the present legislation. On Wednesday, September 25th, join thousands of healthcare providers, patients, and Michigan Brain Injury Providers Council members as they march and rally from the Lansing Convention Center to the Capitol in response to their sweeping changes to Michigan no-fault insurance. There is strength in numbers, Let's work together to mitigate the damage that will result from this recently passed legislation. To register, go to CPAN.us, click on the events page, and go to Michigan Auto Insurance Promise Rally. Then join us in downtown Lansing on Wednesday, September 25th. This message is brought to you by Health Partners Home Care, the Eisenhower Center, and Advent Home Medical.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.